And I thank my husband and the elders for entrusting me up here with a microphone, as always. It's no less nerve-wracking. I think I will be nervous when I'm not nervous, because I believe that the more kind of butterflies I have that we pray to fly in formation, that the Lord has given us a word when we stand up here, and it's not ever to be taken lightly. Okay, so today's sermon is called God's Beauty Parlor. All right. And it's Mother's Day, obviously, so we're celebrating all the ladies. Firstly, I said we had one. We are one. One day we will be one, okay? And even the young ones here, I urge you, the older moms here, the younger girls are looking at us to see how we are doing with motherhood, because we're their role models. And I must confess, I'm not always the greatest role model at all. I have a daughter here who will confirm that. But mothering, oh, this is when you get your banner up, eh? But mothering carries an enormous amount of responsibility. And it's God-ordained and good, okay? The Lord has granted us that privilege. So I know that there has been already, and I know that there will be, lots of spoiling happening today, okay, especially today. But if that fades, ladies and young girls, okay, I'm just going to call you ladies, all right? Don't stop spoiling your beautiful selves. Don't stop spoiling your beautiful selves. Because if it fades, that little bit of spoiling, okay, there's absolutely nothing selfish about taking time out for yourself. Honestly, there isn't. It's called self-honoring. Self-honoring. When there's just time for you and the Lord, or time for you, even if you just go and sit in the garden and look at nature. It's just a little bit of refreshing time that we all need. So, self-honoring. Question. Who amongst us, and of course, if the men want to put up their hands, hey, that's wonderful, okay, has ever been to a beauty parlor or a spa, you call it here? Don't be afraid, yes. Even I, okay, plunge my little tootsies in that water, okay? All right? And how did you feel? Listen, secret, I got him there once, okay, just once for a pedicure on a Monday at 9 o'clock when there was nobody else there, okay? Forced him, okay. And Chris, you will not tease him after this? No, no. So because when we emerge from a beauty parlor or a spa, as they're called here, we feel refreshed and rejuvenated and clean, and all our blemishes that have been exposed, dealt with, right? All the blemishes. And the esthetician, we call them beauticians, so the esthetician has gently expelled every pore that's needed attention. Okay, I keep my eyes shut. I've had that done a couple of times, and keep my eyes shut and clench, but it's actually good. Okay, so now when we spend quality time with the Lord, we emerge a butterfly. This is quite poetic, I thought. But we emerge a butterfly from the cocoon of grime that has held us in the world in a vacuum of pressure. Because there is pressure and there is stress and there is stuff that comes at us, all of us too. And all the dryness and all the spiritual warts and all the zits in our hearts. You say zits? Those things that you're not supposed to squeeze. Okay, but when God gets hold of you, it's a beautiful thing because he just expels all that stuff that shouldn't be there. Okay. Healed and removed. I call it God's wrinkle cream. He's just got to work on the eyes a little bit. But anyway. So scripture in 1 Peter 3:4, we are encouraged with this. And these are gorgeous words from the Amplified. It says, but let it be the inward adorning beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. That's a state of being that would be good to have all the time available to us, the word tells us. So let's try. So a few years ago, good friends of mine in South Africa got together and sent me to a place called Camp Orchards. Now, it was a mansion in the middle of a sugarcane farm. It was absolutely beautiful, okay? I thought that I should live there, okay, because it was one of those places, all right? Great pampering place. I was very, very blessed. So there was a steam bath and a hot tub and a jacuzzi. And once I got over that I had to wear my swimming costume in front of people, I was fine, okay? Just a glorious, glorious encounter. Honestly, it really, really was. They gave me a healthy lunch. I had to look for it on my plate. You know, one of those lunches, okay? But I felt so good that when I drove out of there, I actually felt like a queen. In fact, the whole day was called Queen for a Day. We are queens for the rest 364 other days in the year. Okay, girls? Right. So, how much more gorgeous and worthwhile and cleaned up and refreshed can we feel when we spend really good time with the Lord? Because in today's hectic times, mothers and daughters can get so caught up in the busyness of life. Good stuff, necessary stuff, but stuff nonetheless. Even the enemy can have us running around doing good stuff to keep us from the God stuff that will bring life and not exhaustion. We need discernment for that. Okay, we really do. Is it a good idea? Is it a God idea? Two good questions to ask. Okay, it's kind of like self-preservation as well, because the more we give out, and we always do, okay, the less there is for us, and then we get fraught, and then God is not able by the Holy Spirit to download as much as he would if we just actually were quiet, okay? We don't actually need to insert ourselves into everything that's going on around us either. We really honestly don't. Because if that's what's giving us our identity, that's not where our identity is. Okay, I know we're busy, and I know that a lot of demands come on us. Okay, but it could be seen as a little bit of interfering, and it exhausts us. So again, is it a good idea? Is it a God idea? Okay, because I know from my experience in the ministry, and from counseling people, that unless the Holy Spirit is given free rein in our diaries, I am not good at this, okay? But I'm going to try to do better. But unless the Holy Spirit is given free rein in our diaries for his prioritizing, okay, we scurry around like ants. Now, the scripture says, Psalm 39:6 says, I don't have to look at the hair. That's wonderful. Oh, I just love this, okay? I fight it, but I love it, okay? Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, which inheritance, not knowing who will get it. That's a scary thought. So which leads me to another question. What inheritance are we leaving? Henry Cloud puts it this way. What wake, you know, the thing that goes behind the boat, what wake are we leaving? In the New Testament, inheritance can refer to property, things, okay? But mostly, in the context of mothering too, it refers to the rewards of discipleship. So this is in the context of mothering and how are we discipling our children. And when I actually typed this, I thought, best I get the spell check right, because discipleship and discipline are very close, very close. You're allowed to laugh now, or at least smile. So Billy Graham says, the influence of a mother upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. So how are we doing with the discipleship of our children? Do we fully realize, and this is the most powerful, I can stop now, but I won't. Do we fully realize that we are history makers? Because our magnificent way maker, okay, has empowered us to be history makers. History makers as we lead our children, as we nurture them, and ultimately as we launch them into the future generation to train them up so that one day, sob, sob, they will leave. And they will leave well, and they will do well. Stop giggling, Joanne. Okay, because there are boomerang children. We all know that. I had to put that in. Okay, but that is after the good training and all the rest. Okay, right. All right. So, you see, I've lost my place now. Okay, so I know that this takes perseverance. I know that. And overcoming is a reward for perseverance, for hanging in there. We all need to hang in there, okay? I don't have nails, but I'm hanging, okay? Let's think of Jacob. And I thought about Jacob, wow, man, this man against all odds, okay? He pushed through 14 years of hard labor, turmoil. He endured deception. He was even given the wrong woman as a wife. Not you, darling. Okay. He struggled and he battled. And God blessed him with, after all this perseverance, new identity, a clean start, wealth, reconciliation, all because he persevered. Perseverance must finish its work. It's a really, really good word. Okay. Revelation 3:12. He, and I'm going to say she, who overcomes, I will make them a pillar in the temple of the Lord. And Revelation 21:7, I don't know if I gave that to you, is it there? Tells us that he who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, daughter. Right? So moms, we are history makers. Maybe not in the Annals of Time magazine or some glossy girl magazine, okay? But I really sense that the Lord's word to us today is that we, and this is how he sees us, are history makers in the hearts of our children. A friend of mine has 5 sons. She wrote this. I couldn't have written it better, so I have permission to share it. She wrote this. I'd begun to feel extremely frustrated with my lot in life. No college degree, my dad warned me. No fancy title. Definitely no fancy paycheck. Long, hard hours with very little appreciation on most days. I'd always wanted to be someone when I grew up. I should have been more specific. On a recent and rare vacation, I was feeling extremely miserable as I compared my life to those world changers I saw on TV and read about. As I pondered their fabulous lifestyles and vast privileges of being rich and someone in this world, I looked about my no-frills motel room and got really depressed, because there sat the chaotic, empty, half-empty cooler box that the boys had been rummaging in, pillows, sleeping bags, clothes strewn everywhere, disarray wherever I looked. And the sight matched perfectly with my life, clutter and chaos. She goes on to say, I felt trapped, suffocated by the noise of the 5 boys arguing, husband barking orders. She says, my silent screams of, I could have been someone, just not this, was only heard by God. And he answered me. He gently reminded me of who I am in this world. But this is what he said to her, I am a builder of strong men for all the tomorrows of this nation, this world, this century. He has appointed me to be the mom of fathers and leaders and friends and husbands and entrepreneurs. You saw them all here just now. Only he knows, right? Only he knows what he's going to do with them. As I carefully, diligently, tirelessly train and pray them into the kind of men they must be for their generation and the generations to come. The world waits for their greatness, which to a large extent can only be born through my sacrifice. I lay down my rights daily for their betterment. That's a mom. Instead of a briefcase, I carry a vision. That's rich. So we keep our visions before us, being careful not to slump into the lie of just being a housewife or just being a stay-at-home mom. As Mark always says, often just is the most demeaning word that precedes that, okay? The incredibly important God-ordained position that God has actually put us in. Now, this was not in my type notes, but as I was going over it this morning for the 10th time, I just want to say this. This is not a cutesy pie message for moms. This is an encouragement, because we all find ourselves in the same place at some stage or another, okay? Stay-at-home moms and ladies who go out to work have still got great work to do. Those that go to work, 8 to 5 or 9, whatever it is, okay, have still got to come home and be the housewife and be this, and sometimes that is a double job, and that's hard, okay? But let's just be sensitive to one another, because I respect the ladies that stay at home with their children to give them what they sense is necessary for their children. I know that I'm spoken to by lots of women here that say, I feel disconnected from God. I feel dry. I feel this. I feel that, because my children are running around, all the rest of it. And, you know, and I feel stuck in that room. Let me tell you, some Sundays I'd like to be in that room. But actually, you're not allowed to laugh at that. But anyway, there is a difference in what God has called us to, and there is a season where our little ones are going to take the time that God expects us to spend with them. Okay, just saying. Right. So the world may never know our names, but they will feel our impact as we turn these children loose on the next generation and the days ahead. We are daily, she stopped writing now, this is me, okay? We are daily building a home, a base of operations for those children in training. That's what we do. That is what we are called to do. And I don't know who wrote this, but I wrote it down because it's stuck with me. We mine the imperishable gold in the impressionable young hearts of our children. There is gold there that some days we don't see, right? Some days it looks a little bit like something else, okay? But it's actually the imperishable gold that God has placed in our children, and that's what we're busy mining and leading them into. Okay, so as mothers, we are, in God, history makers, women known for their great sacrifice, and revolutionaries. And I thought that's going to sound a bit like Che Guevara, okay, but it's not meant to be, because a revolutionary is someone who has a major impact on some aspect of human endeavor. So you can say, pat, 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 I'm a history maker, okay? I'm a revolutionary. That should scare some people, especially maybe your children. Women known for our great sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. We're doing a good thing. Even when we think we aren't, we are. And our God undertakes, because he has a plan and a purpose for our sons and daughters. Now, Louise said, Mom, don't you dare tell any stories about me. Well, here I go. Because I am super sleuth, and I was looking for some documents and came across this precious, treasured document that she wrote when she was in grade, it's 9 here, so what would that be here, 7, 11? I don't know. Okay, anyway. English essay, 15th of March, 1991. Yes, there was such a year. Okay. And she wrote it, and I never found it until about maybe 2 years later. I was looking in one of those glossy coffee table books, and this, not the plastic, the inside thing, was in there. And I read it and wept, because she called it Wind Beneath My Wings, sung by Bette Midler, from the film Beaches, okay, dedicated to my mother. There are a couple of cute things, like she says, you know, of late I've been noticing that my mother does a lot more for me than I ever thought or imagined. I want to remind her in public about that. Anyway, the really heart-rendering thing was that when she wrote this, and I thought I was doing such a bad job, it was at the height of my alcoholism. My daughter still wrote that when I was doing a lot of stuff wrong. So none of us can ever think that everything we do or some things that we do is not right. God is well able to serve us and them, and he hasn't done such a bad job with you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was another story, and I thought, do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear another story? Okay, all right. So, there she was in a little school uniform with a little school hat that used to sit like this in the bathroom, and I was working single mom, and she was watching me put my makeup on in the bathroom mirror. And I asked her, I said, please get me a piece of toilet paper to blot my lips. So she scuttled off and she got the toilet paper, and I went, thank you, and I put it down, and that was it. And think another thing. Till about a week later, I went into her bedroom, and there on the wall, now we call it prestick, I don't know what you call it, like putty stuff, you know, that stuff that you pull out and stick and it leaves marks and all like that. Okay, in her bedroom, on her wall, was the impression of my lips on a piece of toilet paper. And above it was another piece of paper, and it said, with an arrow down, my mother's mouth. Okay, I'll stop now. I'm stopping. You're four. Oh, well. Okay. Well, see, my memory's not that bad, eh? Yeah, I might not. Anyway, so thank you. Because I cherish the idea that I could at all be the wind beneath your wings and your children. If they see you like that, what a blessing. So let's be kind to ourselves firstly. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's where we start, girls. We start with God. And then we sang about lavish. We lavish ourselves in his presence, with his presence, okay, where there is fullness of joy, because it's going to show in all that we do. Our children emulate us. That's a scary thought sometimes, hey? Do we always remember that? We are their role models. So the Proverbs 31 woman that we're also terrified of because she seems to be so together, okay, did a lot of stuff like we do, carried her parcels from afar is one of them, okay? A distaff is a sewing machine. I haven't got one. But anyway, that. All right. So just I want to finish with some of these excerpts from the Proverbs 31 lady. All right. I'm not going to read it all. It's in your Bible. Okay. You can go and read for yourself and absorb what you think. Even if you read it in something like the Message and put yourself there. Okay. These are traits that we can and do possess. All right. Verse 11. Says, her husband has full confidence in her, and he lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Greg Haswell says this about Michelle, you know, the couple who are doing our family camp. He says, Michelle is prudent. And I looked that up because I didn't really understand the real meaning of the word prudent, okay. But it's about being wise. Her behavior, our behavior, should speak well of our husband's headship in our home, when we're being led well. Okay. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She's confident, she's secure, she's unafraid of her future. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Let's always remember, really, me first. Before we open our mouths to ask for wisdom from God, because he says we can, and so we should, all right, sound advice from God. Being prudent means that sometimes we don't speak at all. We don't use those 3 million words that we get a day to actually use, all right, except maybe to say, I'm sorry. It's always a good word. And to our children. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and they praise her. And verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's her posture. It's our posture. When we fear the Lord with a reverential fear, we love him with all our hearts. We just love that the Holy Spirit is resident in us, and we behave accordingly with that. Just that not anxious, that just that serene stuff that other people see and can glean from as well. So husbands and young ones here today, right, this morning. Verse 31 says, honor her for all that her hands have done and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So I've told you about the surprises outside. I would just love it, Mark, if you want to come and pray for the ladies, if you would do that. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for being a great group of people. Thank you.